Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mod.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern, the podcast. All right, that's enough of that. Welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman, who won't be here until a little bit later after the commercial break. He had to leave early, so we recorded this before. We recorded the episode before he left, and now I'm recording this after. But it's a great episode. We're doing the top 10 cards in Modern Masters 2017. This set is insane. We missed Goblin Guide when we did our list, partly because the art isn't as great. But then we go over the other cards that are really important on the set. We go over some of the big misses in the set. It was a really great episode. You guys will be listening to it very soon. But first, we're going to get into the news. And before the news, we're going to talk a little bit about where you can follow us. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes. Make sure to follow us, at the MMcast on Twitter. I am at Kess Wiley. Ben is at Ben Bateman Media. We are on the website collected.company, where you can also find the Command Zone, who does awesome content there. Check them out. Jimmy and Josh do great Commander content. It's really important. If you like Commander, if you don't like Commander, it's a great way to get into the format. They also do other cool video content, like game nights, and they do video content with the professor, and they're just up to all this cool stuff. And we're on that website as well, so that's collected.company. And that's kind of the major shout-outs. Patreon. Make sure to donate to Patreon if you want to support the cast. We really appreciate it. All this stuff takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. Make it a priority. Make sure we come out with episodes once a week, or we try to. And the Patreon helps make that happen, and we do great stuff with it, like buy equipment and get Ben to go to the GP that's coming up, where he's going to do a team unified modern and get to play with some people that donate to the Patreon or write reviews on iTunes. So if you're going to be there, make sure to do one of those to get in the contest. We'll explain the details at the end of the episode. But yeah, on to Magic news. First off, there wasn't really any big modern tournaments last weekend, but there was, you know, the big Mox happened, the Magic Gathering Online Championship. And it was Mardu Vehicles times two and Four Color Sea Healy times two. They're really making an effort to make standard different. But Josh Arlin won the thing against Lucas Blohan, Ryosuke Urasi, and Markio Carvalho. I definitely butchered some of those names, and I apologize to those players. But make sure to check that out. Check out the standings there. Those decks are sweet. It is standard. I have been playing a sweet Cheerios deck in standard that is one of the more fun things. So standard is really fun right now, even though maybe the top tables are a little lack of diversity. And if you want diversity, come to modern. That's the point. So and then beyond that, the really big announcement was today is that moving forward after a specific event, and I'm not sure which one, but Channel Fireball will be running all GPs worldwide in conjunction with the team that was running all of Wizards Pro Tour events and doing all their special events like PAX. This is a pretty decisive decision. People online generally are accusing it of being a monopoly, even though it's technically not. And I don't think it will in actuality be that way. I think from a Wizards perspective, GPs need to become more consistent. They had probably two real choices. There was Channel Fireball or Star City Games. Star City has their own circuit and is not going to be as kind of reliant on GPs being a big part of that. Channel Fireball already works really closely with Wizards. And I think in the long run, this will lead to a higher quality version of formats, because now on Reddit, if a person posts, hey, this GP is going badly, face-to-face games is doing a bad job here, then we have to go after them. This other person is doing a bad job, we have to go after them. Now it's Channel Fireball did a bad job. All GPs can be changed this way. It also means that they can invest in equipment at greater levels, that it can be consistently across all formats. And Channel Fireball has a very good coverage team and production team. So all that's probably going to be a benefit for GPs moving forward. I also think with this happening and Channel Fireball probably moving towards more standard content as Wizards does, this gives a lot of onus on Star City Games to maybe up their modern game, which is great for us because someone at least will be focusing on it, and it does give a kind of a differentiating line. Otherwise, you know, I do understand the problem now. If only one person is doing it, how do we make it better? But we're all playing Magic the Gathering. It's all covering from Wizards Coast in the first place. And technically, it's not, you know, you can play World of Warcraft, or you can play, you know, they're not World of Warcraft, that doesn't exist anymore, Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Hearthstone. There are other card games out there. But Magic is obviously the best one, which is why this is a Magic podcast. So yeah, I think it's great. I think it'll, you know, time will tell, and I might be wrong, but I think the quality of production both of these companies have given us has been really high. Beyond that, that's it kind of for the news. So, you know, after this commercial break, we'll get into the main bulk of this episode. Thanks, guys.
Oh, but Anchor. Hey guys, before we get into our top cards reprinted in Modern Masters 2017, we want to remind you that we are brought to you today by Anchor, our sponsor on the episode today, which is a brand new app. It's kind of like Twitter meets radio, and I have a brand new show on Anchor called 10 Minutes of Magic. I'm going to be just sharing my opinions and thoughts for about 10 minutes a day, doing all kinds of little like different parts of Magic, not just Modern, and interviewing players and all kinds of things. So go find Anchor. It's a great new app. You can download it in the App Store. If you follow me on Twitter, at Ben Bateman Media, you'll see I'm sharing links, and we just had Kessler on the cast. His three things that make Magic the best game ever, he just did an episode with us last night, so real short form stuff, but it's just a fun way to interact. If you call in, I can share your thoughts and put them on my station, et cetera, et cetera. So Anchor's awesome, and we're going to get into our top cards in Modern Masters 2017.
All right, so number 10. This lets you play spells and make them not countered, but it's really only creature spells. This is Cavern of Souls. Start strong.
The fact that Cavern of Souls is number 10 is just outrageous. Like, this set is so good.
Yeah, I can't, like, this is a deserved reprint. I thought this actually was a card that probably could be reprinted in Standard. I don't think this is a card that really, from a power level perspective, would make Standard that terrible. Right. But I get where like it's now been time and they needed to kind of get it out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough because they don't make Tribal and Standard that pushed. I mean, they have made Tribal and Standard pushed. I should rephrase that. Goblins has been really good in Standard at times. And, you know, so there's a lot of things. But the real thing is that it's the counter magic is not that good in Standard. That's the reason Cavern of Souls is not that big. It's like not that important.
Totally.
So, but yeah, it is a sweet card.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. How expensive was it? $60-$65 before the reprint? More?
I mean, like, that's going to be something that I'm not going to be perfect on. I would guess it was close to $50 to $60.
Yeah. Crazy.
All right, number 9. This one is probably one of the best removal spells in the format. It kills anything for Cover Mass 3 or less that's Abrupt Decay.
Yeah, Decay's great. Do you remember when Decay was originally previewed and everybody's like, oh my god, it's the best removal spell ever. It's going to be so good. And it got pre-ordered at like $24 and it sold out. It sold out at $8, I remember, on Star City as a pre-order. And that was like $24. And then everybody's like, well, it's good in Standard, but it's not that good in Standard. Like, it's really a much more important Modern card, and the price slowly went down, and then slowly but surely over time, the price slowly went back up. And I think at the point before it got reprinted here, it was in the mid-20s.
Yeah, so next on the list, this is going to be not the best creature ever printed, green creature, but it is probably the biggest green creature that sees play, and that is Craterhoof Behemoth.
Craterhoof Behemoth, you think that's top 10, huh?
It's really a necessary reprint. It was getting really expensive. It's a mythic from Avacyn Restored, which is a heavily under-opened set. I don't know where else they're going to be able to really reprint this easily, and it's very important for multiple decks like Elves and other decks that are trying to steal, you know, cheat big things into play.
Yeah, Craterhoof's just not really my kind of card, not because I don't understand its power level. It's incredibly powerful, and in big mana decks with lots of little dudes, it's really important, but it's just not a card that I would have necessarily looked at and felt like was, you know, a huge boon for the reprint. But, I mean, it's big and splashy, and it was a mythic from a set that's... How old is Avacyn Restored now? That's where this reprint ends, right? Avacyn Restored's the last set?
No, Return of Ravnica.
No, that's before. Oh, no. Return of Ravnica's after, you're right.
Yeah.
Avacyn's the set before.
Yeah, Scars, Innistrad, RTR.
Yeah.
The so, future beyond that.
The future.
That's not in this set. All right, next. Which number are we on?
I think that was number 8.
Yes. So, 7.
Yeah.
Okay, number 7, Inquisition of Kozilek, our preview card.
Yeah, it's one of our two preview cards.
Yeah.
This was, you know, it's funny that they put Inquisition as a rare in Conspiracy. It's when you think about that, it's such an odd reprint. It's also such an odd rarity shift reprint. I don't really like. Does it feel like it was necessary to have it in that set now, or do you feel like they could
have just... In Conspiracy? I feel like they put it in there because they were rushing, and they needed to get it out there, and they needed a way to do it. But the problem with Conspiracy is that Inquisition of Kozilek doesn't make sense in that set.
No.
A targeted discard for 3 or less mana in a set that is pretty much only ever going to be drafted for multiplayer play is, like, actively bad?
I mean, it's not actively bad, because,
No, it's actively bad.
Is it?
Well, like, you're allowed to play with like 5 drops, no problem. Like, yeah, I don't think you would play it.
Interesting. Yeah, I just remember the reprint with that card, thinking like it was such a strange decision to reprint it in that set, especially to rare shift it. It didn't make a lot of sense. And I agree with you. It felt rushed. It definitely felt rushed, but I am happy to see it in this set, and I'm especially happy that to see it in this set reprinted at Uncommon. You know, I mean, granted, at $7 MSRP on a pack makes an Uncommon not exactly inexpensive in the way that you're used to Uncommons being inexpensive.
Well, but so that's something that was really important with Modern Masters 1 and was really lacking in Modern Masters 2 was kind of a depth at Uncommon and Common. Like, that's why Path is important also in this set. It's not in our top 10 because it was reprinted before, but in a previous Modern Masters set. But these valuable Uncommons are really what make opening these packs worth it, partly because of the guaranteed foil. Now, chances of getting a foil Inquisition or Kozilek are that much higher, which really adds value to every one of these sets.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree completely.
All right, next, number 6.
Yes.
Voice of Resurgence.
Yeah, it's
green, white for a 2/2. Whenever an opponent casts a spell during your turn and one Voice of Resurgence dies, create a green and white elemental creature token with this creature's power and toughness are each equal to the number of creatures you control. This is another card. Like, this is the only mythic worth anything from Dragon's Maze.
Yeah.
And really the only card from that set worth anything.
Other than the Shocklands.
Which were in, like, land slots at a weird, you know, like, X rarity. Like, the thing with this card is that set was, once again, heavily underopened. It was from that era where, like, the third set was kind of weird. The draft environment was fun, but a lot of people didn't like it. So there's, like, definitely issues. And so Voice of Resurgence ended up just being this weird, ballooned card that getting a reprint is really important. And it sees play in Hate Bears decks. It sees play in every Collected Company deck and or Birthing Pod deck pretty much since that deck existed.
Yeah, it's a really good card. I mean, it's a super, super valuable card within its strategy. It's a very unique card. It's also, you know, it's so interesting to try to come up with exactly how to contextualize this, but it's really, really, really important that when Wizards pushes the value of creatures, right? That when Wizards has decided that they're going to try to make green creatures good, like they want you to be able to really play creatures and feel happy about it and not feel like you need to play this tempo-y sort of blue counterspell-y kind of game, that when they do it, they don't make the creatures all Thragtusks. You know what I mean? Like, there's a thing about playing a card like Thragtusk where, yes, the rate on Thragtusk or the rate on some, you know, like 5/5s for 4, things like that, those are very, very good cards. No one's going to argue that those are really powerful. But for my money, the way that I like to play Magic, I like to have efficient cards that I can play. Cards that make me feel smart for playing creatures in the 2-drop slot, you know? And this is a really, really, really powerful Grizzly Bear. I mean, it's an insanely powerful Grizzly Bear that if your opponent is like that control player that's just got all the tricks and all the counterspells and all the removal, and they're always playing stuff at the end of your turn, this card makes it really hard for them to outvalue you.
Totally.
And it's a very fun card to play in that way. It makes you feel smart for playing creatures.
And on that point, like, I mean, and that's kind of why I think green gets a bad rap, because, like, yes, Tarmogoyf is a beater and Crater of Behemoth is an overrun, but, like, Scavenging Ooze is a really interesting new kind of card. Thragtusk has lifelink attached to it. And like, there's, you know, a Llanowar Elf in the form of Avacyn's Pilgrim. Like, there's different ways that green can be really powerful, even in this set. And when you add that to the greater whole, there's a ton of cool ways that, you know, those colors can kind of do stuff. Next, number 5, destroy all creatures, they can't be regenerated, but it's in black, damnation.
But it's in black.
Now what in damnation?
We talked.
It's like a meme that's out there.
We talked a lot about this before, but this is a card that had been, people were fiending for the reprint on this card for years. They even wrote an article that said, like, it took us long enough, or it's about time, or something like that. Just because, tell the story again, Cass, like, what set was this supposed to be
in? So it was Gavin Verhey was working on Annihilation, and it was in From the Vault Annihilation for a long time, but then they put it into the M15 skeleton, and that and actually Liliana of the Veil were both in that set originally for a really long time, and so they're like, okay, we won't put it in Annihilation, and Gavin Verhey wrote in his big article going over every single card being like, you know, if there's a card you think you should see here that's not here, remember that we're probably going to print it this year. You know, it's going to be printed soon. Don't worry about it. And then Theros Block happened. And then pretty much standard was Mono Black Devotion to Mono Blue Devotion. That's it. And putting a Mono Black control card staple into the format where the deck didn't really need the help was something they were unwilling to kind of try out. And so they cut Liliana the Veil and Damnation from M15. That's why the 5-mana Liliana is in that set and why it has no new art, because at that point it was too late to get new art. They had to just slide in a card real quick to replace it that was probably safe. And so that's why neither of those were in the set. And Damnation wasn't in that set, wasn't in Modern Masters 2, because it was already too late for that as well. And they're just like, oh man, where are we going to put this? And this is kind of the first chance they've had to kind of get it out there.
Is Mono Blue Devotion in Standard the least powerful Pro Tour winning deck ever?
No, that deck was powerful.
That deck was
Masters of Ways is an insane card.
Well, yeah, agreed. I'm not saying the deck was bad. It's just like I seem to remember within a week or 10 days of that Pro Tour, people were already like, yeah, it was just a good metagame call.
No, I think you're wrong on that. That Mono Blue Devotion, Mono Black Devotion, Red Green Monsters were the only decks in that format, and Red Green Monsters really wasn't. It was Mono Blue versus Mono Black. Mono Black was like, it was like 60% Mono Black, 20% Mono Blue, and then
really?
20% other decks.
I remember it a little differently, but you know, if anybody listening to the podcast remembers, if you want to correct me, that's fine. I just like, I seem to remember thinking like, oh, that's a really cool deck. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's playing a bunch of cards that just seem okay. And then like, I felt like it really fell off and people weren't playing it anymore, but maybe I was wrong about that. So anyway, that was number five, was Damnation.
Yep. Number four, and she's great. She's three mana. She's a planeswalker. She comes in and kind of owns the game because she is the best planeswalker in Modern, Liliana the Veil.
Yeah, I mean, what more does the Masters of Modern podcast need to say about like the cards in the top of this list? Because how many times have we talked about Liliana the Veil? It's on the short list of cards we've talked about the very most. But it is nice to see. It's nice to see at the reprint slot. I mean, I can't wait to open the set and play limited and be able to open a Liliana of the Veil in my limited, like in my limited environment again. We had it so good back in Innistrad, and we didn't even know it. We didn't even know that we could open cards. Well,
Liliana the Veil was $90.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Week like month one, because it was right off of the back of Jace. It saw that Solar Flare deck play. People didn't realize the difference between a small set and a large set. You know, Innistrad was a much more popular set than World Wake. The Magic population was larger. There's a lot of reasons why it ended up being less expensive. But yeah, no, definitely an insane card.
Yeah, busted.
Number four. Cost one red. Add two colors to that red. Makes all lands mountains.
And it's
I
not,
hate it.
It's not a mana spell like Kessler just suggested the way that he said that. It's just Blood Moon is what he's talking about,
yeah, yeah.
Actually.
Wait, what?
We cost one red. Add two to that red. I was like, is Rite of Flame in the set?
No. Like, yeah, yeah. It's like two and a red. Blood Moon.
Yeah, Blood Moon.
Ban it.
It looks like they ain't banned.
My hopeful. So, like, in every Modern Master set, there's been one card that's banned.
Yeah.
That is in the set, like, very soon afterwards. So, if you look at something like Splinter Twin,
yep.
You look at something like Eye of Ugin.
Sure.
Like, these sets always have, like, a card that gets banned pretty quickly afterwards. I'm hoping Blood Moon's that card here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hoping Blood Moon's that card.
I think it's the only card that's even on the list that I would say is likely. I might be wrong. I don't think fetch lands are being banned anytime soon. All right. That's number three. Any more on that?
No. I'm good.
Okay. Number two. Best creature ever printed, maybe, if you think it's a creature. Has flash. One blue, one colorless. 2/1. A spell in your graveyard gets flashback. Mr. Snapcaster Mage. Tiago Chan, no longer. Now weird, boring wizard dude, but whatever.
So rank the three arts for me.
I will say I like the soccer player art from the RPTQ promo the most, followed by the Tiago Chan, followed by this. Now, I will say this, though. I don't really agree with the ditching the invitational players on their invitational card art method that Wizard has. So the first time they print it, it has the invitational face on it, but then they like get rid of it. I like guess there's probably some legal reason that they have to, if they're going to keep using the person's face, they have to pay them some type of royalty in some way.
Probably,
but like,
yeah.
I'm going to go with, I would rather Tiago Chan be on this card. I like the soccer player art the best. I would like Tiago Chan to be on the card the most.
I mean, yeah. I mean, this art's fine. It's just, it's not like the art itself is really good. Like I can imagine being in a convention and seeing this like print laid out on the table and being like, that is sick. That's
it's very pretty, but it's very generically pretty. And for Snapcaster Mage, which is this big iconic card, it's just kind of like, this could literally be any blue wizard ever printed. There's nothing Snapcaster-y about it to me.
You know, right under it on Mythic Spoiler, there's a Draw New Lich Lord, blue black 5-drop from Time Spiral. The art on that card is sweet. I forgot about how cool looking that card is.
non sequitur. All right. Number one.
The number one card.
Yeah. Number one. Single card. There's only one. And by that, I mean there are five.
Yes.
It's the fetch lands. We're talking about Misty Rainforest, Scalding Tarn, Arid Mesa, Verdant Catacombs, and Marsh Flats. obviously really important. These have been needed to reprint soon. I think Wizards realized that fetch lands and standard might also be an issue, so they're kind of just giving up on that, and they're giving us some Modern Masters.
Yeah, I mean, it's, look, let's all be honest about this set. If you take the fetch lands out of it, it's basically a normal Modern Masters set, is what it feels like.
If
you
no, I don't know if I agree with that, but sure, continue.
If you take the fetch lands out of it, it feels like a really, really good set. Like, it feels like a set that they could print, and I would be like, yeah, it's about adequately powered.
After we're done talking about fetch lands, I'm going to read a bunch of cards that we didn't include on our top list, 10 lists that are either insane or great.
Oh, you think that even if you took the fetch lands out, it would still be insane?
Yeah.
I think take five fetch land slots out of the rare slot and replace those with, like, you know, the level of cards like Seance and like the stuff that would normally end up peppering a set in.
I think
a lot
if
of
you
its
take
rare
them
slots,
out, this set would be better than Modern Masters 2, but I agree that it wouldn't be as good. But that's not a fair. Like,
no,
of course
what,
it won't be as
that's
good.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I think it's better than Modern Masters 2.
I'm saying
2
these
way.
Are the five. This is the most exciting and insane thing in this set, is the fact that there's five of these and they're in the rare slots. Like, they don't usually burn rare slots in these sets on lands. They did it in the first one with the filter lands, but those aren't iconic lands in the same way. They don't
filter lands weren't in the first set.
Yeah, they were reprinted in Modern Masters 1.
No.
You're sure?
Yeah.
You're positive.
I'm like twice as positive as I was when I said it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm more confident as every moment continues.
Was there like I think I've made this mistake before. What was the rare duel from the first one?
There was no rare duels in the first one. There was five vivid lands.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you just proved me wrong on talking, and I'll see if I can find what
all
I
right, want. Let me list you all of the sick cards that are in the set that aren't fetch lands.
Well, okay, but let's just say that real quick before you do that. If in fact they didn't print the filter lands, my point's even more correct, which is that they don't burn rare slots on important lands in these sets because it takes too many slots up. And they did it, and they didn't even shift them to Mythic. Like, they could have shifted these to Mythic.
No, shifting to the Mythic would be ridiculous, because then there's only 10 Mythics in this set, and then there's just these lands. I think they did the right thing, but this set is insane. Like, Basilisk Caller, Graft Digger's Cage, I'm obviously starting at the artifacts, Boros Reckoner, which is a little looser, Abrupt Decay we mentioned. Sin Collector was up there. Let's sorry, gold's boring.
Get to the good cards, Kessler.
Sphinx's Revelation, Olivia Vardarin, Xur the Enchanter, in commons, Mystical Teachings. of course, this is in the reverse order to make this sound impressive. Path to Exile, Lingering Souls, Serum Visions, Might of Old Croza. There we go. Thank you, Uncommons. Flicker Wisp. Intangible yes. Virtue. Venser Shaper Savant. Blade Spicer. Goblin Guide. Death Shadow.
We had guides on the list. We didn't put that one in there.
Oh, yeah. We missed God. Totally. It's because the art is bad. Pyromancer's Ascension. Deadeye Navigator. Gifts Ungiven. Restoration Angel. Thrag Tusk. Zealous Conscript. Blood Moon. Scavenging Ooze. Terminus, Cyclonic Rift, Limvala, Keeper of Secrets, Pass in Flames, Creator of Behemoth. Tarmogoyf wasn't even in our top 10.
It's true. I feel like you just did a really clumsy way of just reading most of the list right now, and like a lot of the cards you read were like unnecessary to read. You skipped some. You read Mystical Teachings as a slam dunk.
At common, it's a sick. It was like a $3 common.
Was it really?
Yeah, now it's a not $3 common.
Should we talk about, I tweeted to our fans about the biggest misses?
Yeah, so what are your biggest misses without us going onto this list?
Let's see, biggest misses.
Give me your like three top biggest misses.
I would say probably my biggest miss of the set, well, Noble Hierarch's a big miss for me.
Sure.
And I understand that that's been a former reprint, and you can't put every money card in the entire modern set. Chaz wrote that thing about how by the third time they've reprinted cards now, they've basically printed the full cycle. So they've basically printed every money card that modern has ever had that was in circulation that needed to be reprinted over three sets. So if the theory is that every 3 years they're going to replenish by doing essentially
yeah, like
the same thing.
I'm almost more interested in what are the your biggest misses that haven't been reprinted at all? Or do you have a big miss? Because I know my big one is probably Scapeshift.
Yeah, I would say that's
like
seems...
that's like a format defining deck that kind of hasn't gone anywhere. And then maybe after that would be Archangel of Thune,
Horizon Canopy.
Horizon Canopy wasn't printed in a Modern Master set. It was printed as a Expedition. I do think that whole cycle of lands, the Grove of the Burn Willows, are definitely in need of Modern Masters reprints. Lands are hard. Now that they've kind of opened the floodgates, there's all these lands I'd like to see reprinted.
Yeah, Ensnaring Bridge.
Yeah, Ensnaring Bridge, Crucible of Worlds.
Yeah, those are big ones. Mishra's Bauble.
Mishra's Bauble is a huge one.
That's just like so ridiculous now.
That it's the most expensive non-rare, non-mythic in the format. No.
It's
mana drain is
$37.
Yeah.
And it's Mishra's Bauble. Yep. I think I have...
I have four of them.
I don't think I have them anymore, but I remember going home because I bought a box of Cold Snap when it came out and going through my mom's basement and finding five of these a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just all in, like, a box of crap. Yeah, I think probably for me, like, some of the ones that jump out that didn't get reprinted, you know, Hierarch's a really big one. Bridge is a really big one.
One thing that was really surprising to me was Ancestral Visions wasn't printed at Mythic and Temporal Mastery was.
Yep.
I also don't agree. Like, there are some big, like, disagreements I have with the list. And that's, you know, Art, Entreat the Angels, Temporal Mastery, and Bonfire of the Damned all feel a little wonky to me to be reprinted here. Yes, there's not a lot of places you can reprint Miracles, so maybe that's kind of what they're trying to do here. But Bonfire of the Damned is bad for Limited.
Definitely.
Like it's a great moment, but like it's really swingy with bad feel bads. Temporal Mastery should have blatantly just been Ancestral Visions at Mythic. Like,
right.
Period. No problem with it. Temporal Mastery could have been a rare. I wouldn't mind that being shifted down. I don't think that card is that problematic at rare. And Entreat the Angels was just reprinted in the like relatively inexpensive From the Vault Angels set, like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Kind of when they made this set, they're like, oh, we just printed Entreat the Angels. Let's do it again.
Right.
And like Miracle's a deck in Legacy that should have a card banned out of it is the only deck I know of that plays this card in all of Magic. It's not even good in Commander.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give it to you. I think those are pretty strong answers. I'm going to read some of the...
Oh, Ranger of Eos is in the set with new art as well?
Yeah. Yeah. They missed Oracle of Moldiah. That's a good one. Aven Mindsensor hasn't gotten a reprint.
Yeah, Aven Mindsensor hasn't been reprinted. That's kind of a travesty. Actually, and that card would have been great in this set.
Yeah.
The fact that people would just be playing with fetch lands and like that guy be like, oh yeah, I got a fetch land. What did you get? And then like crack it in draft and you'll be like,
yeah.
Aven Mindsensor, you're wrecked.
Yeah.
Get
seriously.
Wrecked. But no, that's not going to happen. I might sneak some Aven Mindsensors into my packs.
I'm going to throw some of our fans' answers to the question of the biggest.
Yeah,
misses.
Go for it.
Okay. We have Matt Dillon says, I should have won the Oscar for Crash. Just kidding. Matt Dillon, GDB Esports Law, said, because the actor Matt Dillon didn't win the Oscar for Crash, says, he says, Karn and Bauble with dollar signs. Yes, I agree. Karn and Bauble.
Karn, so like the cards that we reprinted in Modern Masters 2 that were on theme with that set that are off theme here don't bug me as much. So like Karn, the Eldrazi, you know, like this is not a set that was built to have giant 7 drops.
Right. Okay, what else? You have Deputy of Acquittals, that's at EOT_Impulse, says Oracle of Moldiah. That's an interesting one.
Yeah. That hasn't been reprinted ever.
Yeah. Oh, Relatable Grandpa at the Jewish something, at the Jewish Hammer, and his tweet says, Hierarch, it's like $80, and Chalice of the Void is also 70. Yeah, Chalice is a big one.
Yeah, Chalice is a big one. It's interesting because I think part of it is that they had those artifact themes so prevalent previously that they were trying to avoid it to a certain extent. If you look at how many artifacts are in this set, there's only like 12, and I think part of that is also it's hard to have an artifact theme. It's 13. And you're having a gold theme. Gold really competes with artifacts.
Right.
So it's hard to kind of have both.
Yep. I agree with you there.
And by the way, Mist Widow Witch is in this set, and it's sick. And it'll be really fun to draft with that.
Mist Widow Witch?
Yeah.
You didn't play that. You didn't play that limited format.
No, but I played her in cube a lot.
Sweet.
Yeah, she's really sweet.
Shadowmoor Eventide limited was really
It's
fun.
One of the limited formats I wish I played. And it's like unplayable now because I am so behind, and I don't know what I'm doing in it because I never played it. But the thought of it sounds really fun.
It was really, really fun when it was out. I don't know if we even talked about this, but
there's flying Armadillo Cloak, Gift of War Zova.
Yeah,
the card's sweet too.
Well, I was gonna say one thing that I don't know if we pointed out was that when we did the Bro Tour, the weekend thing a few weeks ago, a month ago or something like that, for Highlander Roulette, we did a combined Mirrodin draft where we all opened three packs. one from each set of the two Mirrodin blocks. And so I got to open packs, and I opened a Chalice of the Void in my Mirrodin pack, which now is $70. It's $70.
Damn.
That was $55 to do the actual whole sealed. And yeah, I opened a $70 rare, so that was pretty cool. Somebody opened a foil vial during that too. That was pretty sweet.
I still have my packs because I didn't draft with it.
You haven't opened them yet?
No. I'm saving them for a sweet
Chaos draft.
KF draft.
Awesome.
Anything else?
We got a ton of answers. I mean, I can read a couple more. A couple people mentioned Lightning Bolt, which is interesting because it's been reprinted a few times, but I get it. It's just such a ubiquitous card.
It was in the last set, though. Like, I also am glad Mana Leak wasn't here. I think one of my complaints with Modern Masters 2 was the money cards at Uncommon were Mana Leak and Lightning Bolt that were just standard printed. There are a ton of cards out there, both of those that have been printed over the ages. So it's not as exciting as something like Inquisition of Kozilek or Might of Volcroza, which are cards that have never been reprinted.
Oh, somebody here says all the missed enchantments will be the Expeditions of Amaket. Interesting.
There aren't a lot of enchantments here, but I mean, Blood Moon's here. I don't know what other enchantments.
Yeah, what?
I could see there being another Blood Moon print, though. Actually, a Blood Moon Expedition will look really sick.
Sick.
So yeah. Sick.
Yeah, I do new art, but I would love to see like an Expedition treatment of the original art. That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Somebody also says here. Allegris 38, that's Adam P, says Wild Nicotl and Kitchen Finks. Nicotl's one that's
hasn't
interesting. Been printed in
a long time. And this, it makes sense in this set. This is a red green. That's a big miss from a flavor reason.
When do they print Nicotl again? That seems like such an easy one to print here. I guess it's only $2, so it's like not like they needed to.
They probably were like, it probably was in this set, and then it got cut at one point for something that it needed more, and they're just like, we don't really need this in the set.
I would have such a hard time designing the reprints in this set if I worked at Wizards. I would just be like, I want all of my favorite.
Have you never built a cube?
No, I have.
Okay,
I have. I built one with Eric.
Oh, nice.
I didn't really play it very much, but yeah. So anyway.
Cool. So that's kind of the review of the Mara Master set. I do want to remind everyone that Ben is going to GP San Antonio, which is the Team Unified Modern GP, and I am unable to go most likely. And so Ben is looking for two teammates to go with him. And basically, the way it works is you have to be going already. So you have to kind of get yourself there. Or you don't have to be going already, but you have to kind of get yourself there
you
and pay for entry,
go.
And you have to be willing to go.
Yeah, so I'll finish the thought here because I am going, and this is how it's going to work. So, guys, I'm going to partner with two of our listeners, and we're going to be a team, and we're going to compete that weekend. We're going to play, and hopefully we're going to date two, and we're going to do the whole thing together. We, as a podcast, i.e. Kessler, owns all of the cards necessary to build the decks, and I will be bringing all the cards. So you won't have to bring a single modern card unless like we're missing one or something like that. But for the most part, I think we're going to have everything. The deal is we're going to reveal the winners next week on the podcast. So you'll still have a week and a half, 2 weeks to buy a ticket. I'm going to be figuring out my accommodations probably with, pro friends or whatever. So kind of, I would say do the same thing, figure out your own accommodations. If you want to get in touch with us, maybe there's some way we could figure out a way to split something. But that's the plan, is that I'm going to be going and meeting up with you guys. We're going to be competing as a team. So the way to enter your name in this, whether you are planning on going now or if you were to be picked, you would be willing to just buy a ticket on the spot and go. Is to go leave a rating and a review on our iTunes page for the podcast. If you do that, you are automatically entered into the drawing. You have to follow us on Twitter and do that. So at the MMcast, you follow us on Twitter, leave a rating and review on iTunes, and you get entered in. Or if you go donate to the Patreon this month, just for the 1 month, we'll enter you in the drawing as well, and we will be looking through the names that have entered, and we'll be announcing that on the show next week. So that's going to be super, super fun. I cannot wait. I want you guys to know, I do the Walking Dead after show on Sunday nights, and it's that Sunday, and I'm going to skip the show. I'm not going to do that's the finale, by the way. I'm skipping the finale to go to this GP and play, so I'm excited about that. I mean, I'm not excited to skip the finale, but that's how much it means to me.
Nice.
To be your teammate.
Nice.
We're going to be a team.
Nice.
Like Remember the Titans.
Exactly like that movie.
Yeah.
Except not.
Yeah, one of you guys could be Herman Boone. I'll be whatever the guy.
Are you gonna get in a car accident and then be hospitalized during the GP?
I'll be Bert here.
Are we gonna be all really sad? We shouldn't joke about this.
No, bad idea. So yeah, that's the plan, guys. You should enter in if you want to do that. So follow us each personally at Ben Bateman Media and at Kess Wiley. The podcast is at the MMcast. Find our podcast on collected.company, where we also have the other awesome show, The Command Zone.
Yeah, they do awesome Commander content. They also are doing a lot of cool new content. So Josh Lee Kwai is doing these cool debate shows with the professor on Tolarian Community College YouTube channel. Jimmy and Josh do these game night videos on their YouTube channel. It's really cool stuff. You guys should definitely go check them out. They're at The Command Cast on Twitter, and that's where kind of they share everything from. And we are all at collected.company, the website that is collected.company, not like .com or .co, but collected.company. Beyond that, make sure to follow us. I am at Kes Wiley on Twitter, and we are at The MM Cast on Twitter. You are...
at Ben Baby Media. I just did that while you weren't listening. So
oh, cool.
The double shout.
Yeah, double shout out. I'm glad that happened. And, cool. All right. And then
check out
Patreon.
Anchor, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Check out Anchor. It's the new awesome app. I do this magic show. It's just download it. Look it up. You'll find it on the App Store, Anchor. My show's 10 Minutes of Magic.
I'm just going to have a beatboxing show on Anchor where I'm just going to beatbox really badly using straws on Starbucks cups.
Okay. Sweet.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys.
Secret talents.
we'll see you all next week.
Yeah. Bye. Okay, cool.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.